'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing blood. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, and just from Jesus simply taking life and rest,
hallelujah,
and joy and peace. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, and how I Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and wilt be Jesus, oh, for grace tonight.
But I want us to go to the Bible. If you'll turn to the book of John, take your Bible in hand, turn to the book of John, and please don't put your Bible away while I preach, because we will go to other verses of the scripture. And I want us to get what the Holy Ghost is giving us this morning. Yesterday, the Holy Ghost made something real to me that I had never felt before. I've studied the false anointing for 30-some years. I mean, at least 35 years. And one thing I never really saw, didn't dawn on me, that the real power of the false anointing was to eliminate the necessity of people being born again. The idea of the new birth went out of style when the false anointing came in style. The emphasis became on some kind of esoteric experience, some emotional encounter, some kind of experience that would leave you titillated and emotionally tied. And the people as a whole never experienced being born again. Well, Jesus said, you must be born again. Anybody believe that? Raise a hand if you believe you must be born again. You know, I forgot to mention my teacher, Ms. Davis, and her two boys here this morning. Sister Davis, I mean, we're so glad to see you. You'll love meeting her. Teaches our 3- and 4-year-old, and oh, what a job she is doing. Would you thank God for that? All right, the book of John, chapter 3, and we'll go to verse 1. I want you to hear the text, because this text is really powerful. Jesus Christ's supernatural power, you must be born again. That's my title. Jesus Christ, his supernatural power, you must be born again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man could do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus, now immediately, without a question, just by the statement, Jesus makes a statement. Listen carefully. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, that emphasizes what he's going to say. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Not even enter, much less enter, see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's the word, and of the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Every man, woman, born of mother is flesh. Cannot be anything but flesh unless something supernatural happens. So that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit, is spirit. Isn't that beautiful? That's powerful. That says it so well. Marvel not that I said unto thee. And that's Jesus' words. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, the learned man, said, how can this be? It didn't make human sense. It only makes spiritual sense. You only hear it by the revelation of the Bible. You only hear it by the revelation of God. Now, I want to preach this morning, if you'll help me. I want to preach on the supernatural of the new birth. I want us to understand. I want us to take it home with us. That the event called the new birth, being born again, is so supernatural that no earthly power can accomplish it. No earthly ability can reach that level. This is a level in the supernatural world that only God can work and perform in your life. And if you are never born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. I don't care how much religion you got. You can talk every religious idea you want to talk. You can do all kinds of religious activities and put on all kinds of religious facades. But the real thing, you must be born again. Born of the water, that's the word. And of the Holy Ghost, That's the Spirit. Of course, by the blood. We just sung that, by the blood. Father, this is a beautiful congregation. I don't know who is in front of me that has religion but has never been born again. Or who may be that doesn't even have religion. They've just never been born again. Or who has a testimony of flesh, but they've never had an intrusion into their spirit man, their spirit being, and have been transformed. I'm praying the Holy Ghost of God will reach far beyond the ability of this preacher, and that somebody will say, I want to be born again. Somebody will say, I want to be born again. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now, help me as I preach this morning. I want you to grasp this very important matter. Now, we have a world full of religion. I knock on doors and love it. And almost everybody that I dare to say, are you a Christian? They will say, well, yes, of course I'm a Christian. It's a matter of fact that you get the answer anywhere you go from almost anybody you ask, yes, I'm a Christian. We live in a world of people that literally believe because of the level of preaching, because of the ideas that have pretty well penetrated the whole church world, that if they acknowledge that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that that's supposed to mean they're Christian. And often the preacher will say, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Yes. Do you accept it for yourself? Yes. You're Christian. You're saved. You can be baptized. You can go right on in the Christian profession. But have you had a supernatural experience? Has something happened to you that went through your being from head to toe and turned you into a brand new person? If I understand this Bible right, when you get saved, he turns you upside down. He turns you wrong side right. He turns you into a brand new being, a brand new person. Oh, I remember the night I was saved. 16-year-old kid with all kinds of sins dominated my life. What a wreck I was. My dad, an alcoholic. There was nothing in my past that suggested to me anything about being a Christian. I didn't understand it. I didn't know one verse of the Bible. I knew one thing. I went to church a goat, and I'm going home a sheep. Those were my words that I said that night on the way home. I went to church tonight a goat, but I'm going home a sheep. I didn't understand the theological importance of that. I didn't know it had some relationship to the Bible. I may have heard it in the sermon that night, but if I did, I don't remember. All I can tell you is I went to church a goat, and I'm going home a sheep. And I've been a sheep over 66 years. And not because I'm so good and I'm so special and I'm so something. No, no, no. Has nothing to do. It is not of works. It is not by how good of a person you are. It's not the change you make in the way you do things. It's something God does inside of you. It's something that God reaches his hand in by the Holy Spirit and turns you wrong side right. He changes you from being a sinner to being a saint. He breaks up that old fallow ground that needed to be turned over and upside down, and he turns it upside right. And he just does something that totally changes you. And the really, you can tell this to a person unsaved, and they do not understand it until they experience it. You know, being born again is something you got to experience. You got to have it in your heart. It's got to move in and take over. It's got to take dominance over your life. Now, let's make sure we understand what Jesus said. Except you be born of the water and of the Spirit. The Bible is supernatural, and the Holy Spirit is supernatural. So the result of the water and the Spirit, the supernatural word and the supernatural spirit, the result of them moving into your life and regenerating you has to be understood as supernatural. It has to be understood as something God does for you, in you, of you, and by His Spirit that is supernatural, and you are going to be a transformed person. If you haven't been transformed, you didn't get a hold of the power. Hallelujah. Can we admit that? Can we make sure the world hears us say that? Can we make sure we get across all these hundreds and thousands of people? We're knocking on their doors. We're telling them we love them. We're telling them we're burdened for them. We're praying. We're fasting. We're seeking the face of God. But ultimately, we've got to help them know what it means to be born again. Because when you get born again, nobody has to beg you to change the way you live. I find myself all the time as a minister trying to change people, trying to get them to think differently, trying to get them to live differently, trying to get them to talk differently. I hear people with the foulest old language, and the next word, they'll tell you they're Christian. I know people who live with their companion without the benefit of marriage, and our church is loaded today with men and women who have never been married, and they carry on the life of the church just as though they were born again. I know. I've had several experiences. I remember a young couple some years ago in the old building, and they were sweethearts. They come to the altar. Their hands was in the air. They were praising God. They were shouting. And the Holy Ghost said to me, "They're not married." I said, "Oh." So I went down, stood right in front of them with a big smile, told them how much I was proud of them, how glad I was here. But I said, "The Holy Spirit just showed me you're not married yet." "Oh, no, we're not married." "Are you saved?" "Oh, yes, we're saved." I said, "Y'all live together?" "Oh, yes, we live together." I said, "You can't do that. You can't live together without being married and then tell somebody you are a Christian." You know what I did? A few weeks later, they walked down the aisle when Sunday morning service was over, and I stood at the altar and I married them. Oh, I was delighted to marry them. And they're still living for God. I see them occasionally. They're still living for God. Some of you will remember them. You remember them, Sister Ginger. A precious couple. A precious couple. His mother had become part of the church, and she was an old saint of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to tell you something. You say, "Brother Chambers, that's kind of plain. What do you want me to do? Stand there and let them go to hell claiming to be a Christian? Don't you want me to be a pastor that's a bold man of God? I don't know nothing else. I was saved when preachers were bold." Hallelujah. And so don't try to change me. It ain't going to work. I'm here to tell you God's divine power is still mighty, and He will change you from your head to your toe. Will somebody raise a hand and say hallelujah? Well, that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Now, one of the greatest passages in the Bible that deals with this is the book of Corinthians, chapter 5. The book of Corinthians, chapter 5. You can't find anywhere in the Bible that makes it plainer. Get your Bible. Open it now. Open it to chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to verse 15. "And that He died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." He didn't just die for you. He rose again for you. Did you know that? He died for you, and then He rose again for you, the living Christ. "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we Him no more." Hey, look at that verse. Put your finger on that verse. Look at what he's saying. See, I want you to get the word. What I preach is not important as much as the word. "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. I knew Marlon Clark before he got saved. I remember when Marlon Clark came to church with Becky, his wife. I remember as he sat in church. It's been a long time, 40-some years, but I remember. And then I remember Marlon Clark getting saved. And the Marlon Clark I knew before he got saved was not the same Marlon I knew after he got saved. And you can say that about everybody that's been saved. You find anybody that came to church in their natural, as a person without faith, as a person unsaved, maybe good, maybe moral, maybe living better than some folks, members of the church. I met some sinners that I would prefer their life over some folks that claim to be Christians. Oh, Brother Chambers, does that make them okay? Oh, no. No. You see, know we them no more after the flesh. Now we know them after the Spirit. So I'm showing you it's supernatural. I'm showing you that God takes a man, a woman, in their natural person, in their natural being. They may be as lovely and as beautiful as anybody in town. They may have such a kindness about them that they intrigue you, and you are just blessed by their kindness. But that's still in the flesh. And so even Jesus, he said, some of you knew me in the flesh. See, they remembered Christ when they first saw him and first met him, and that was in the flesh. They knew him as the son of Mary, as the stepson of Joseph, and they didn't even know that or understand that, but that became evident. But then they met him in salvation. And so he said, you knew me in the flesh, but now you know me in the Spirit. Well, that's what happens when you really get born again. When you really get saved, the person you only knew in the flesh, you begin to know them in the Spirit. And there comes a fellowship. There comes a relationship. There comes a togetherness. Hallelujah. And that's the sweetest thing you've ever experienced, is somebody gets saved, and now you know them in the Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. Am I making sense? See, I'm trying to make it plain. When you're in the flesh, you may be a wonderful person. But when you're in the Spirit, because you've been born again, it takes on a new appearance. It takes on a new look. You see it in their face. There's a school teacher sitting here this morning, Ms. Davis, and I'm not going to tell the whole story like she told us in the teachers' meeting, but she just joined our staff a few weeks ago. And she had to alter a lot of her life to come here and go to work on this campus. And she was going home from work, and somebody stopped her and said, I looked her over, and they said, what do you go to church? And she was so thrilled because they saw the Christ in her. They saw the transformation in her. They saw something happen. That's what happens when you really get saved. You don't have to go. To be honest with you, I don't usually need to say to a person, are you a Christian? Usually, by the Holy Ghost, you immediately sense it. Oh, I meet them sometimes. Never seen them in my life. Never knew anything. Didn't know their name. But walk up to them, and they are smiling. There's a beam of Christ coming through their countenance. There's a beauty in their very testimony. And immediately I say, you're already saved, aren't you? And I say, yeah, I am. I sure am. I said, hallelujah. I knew it the moment I walked up to your door. Well, somebody help me here. Hallelujah. When you really get saved, you don't just know somebody in the flesh. You know them in the Spirit. Now, the Bible said that. I didn't say that. If I would have said something as wild as that is, you would think, wow, what's wrong with Brother Chambers? He's losing it. But wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now look at the next verse. Got your Bible open? So I'm bringing you the Bible. I want you to know something. You got to be born again. I want you to understand. You can't just get religion. Well, this Bible is giving me a problem. I'll get it. Listen to me. Listen. You got to know that you've been born again. Look at the next verse. Therefore, if any man be, what? Yeah. Everybody say it. Yeah. Some of you aren't saying it. Everybody. And if therefore if any man be in Christ, not just a friend of Christ, not just a believer of Christ, not just a person who knows he's the Son of God, but in Christ, he is a new creature. You know, you can't even say a new creature without saying a new creation. You understand? A new creation. This person has been turned upside down. Let me ask you, how many in this building, would you stand up, Robert? How many in this building doubt that Robert Rogers has been born again? Does anybody doubt it? How many of you believe he's been born again? Let me see your hand. Look at that, Robert. Brother Robert, he made a new creature out of you. He changed you from inside out. You're a different man. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. I don't care where you go to find a miracle. You won't find one better than a man being born again. Hallelujah. You remember me telling you something earlier this year? Brother Robert came to my house. He said, Brother Chambers, I'm going to get saved next year. Next year? Yeah, I got something I want to do this year, and I can't do it when I get saved. Pretty smart man, wasn't he? He knew something had to happen. I said, Robert, I hope you don't wait. He didn't. He walked in here one Sunday morning, and he's out in the hallway, and he spoke to Brother Dillon. Brother Dillon, it was Academy Sunday, and we had students everywhere. Just families and students, a lot of kids from school. And so it was a different kind of Sunday. And Robert was afraid I wasn't going to preach. And so he said to Brother Dillon, is he going to preach this morning? He knows me like the back of his hand. He knew I was going to preach. He knew I was going to preach. I don't care. Ain't nothing can happen much that I won't preach over. Not often. Anyhow, I preached. And I'm standing here somewhere along in here, and I'm given the invitation, and I look over there at Robert, and I didn't know what he said to Dillon. I said, Robert, you came to get saved this morning, didn't you? And down that aisle, he come a-squalling. Hallelujah. What are you doing, Brother Jeremy? I'm trying to let you know that getting saved is a transformation. I want you to know it's becoming a new creature. And if I could tell you of all the joys that comes out of becoming a new creature, you would never want nothing else. Hallelujah. 66 years and months ago, I got saved. Raise your right hand and love on him. He said, oh, thank you, Lord, for the saving power of that blood and your Holy Spirit and that great word of God. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things. Wait. What did I say? Somebody say that word with Brother Marlon. Old things. Are what? Passed away? What are you talking about? That sounds supernatural to me. Take an old... Was you a drinker? You was a moderate drinker. But you were still an old bad sinner, weren't you? I remember you. See, I'm telling you. Listen to me. Old things pass away. How many remember Bill Osborne? The Holy Ghost gave me this morning. I never thought about it. It got a hold of me big time. Bill Osborne was a man with a back in a mess. I mean, he was a wreck. He was a sinner, an alcoholic, a drinker. He went to camp meeting over on Wilkerson Boulevard. Somebody came down from Maryland, Ohio, wherever his family lived, and took him to camp meeting. And Bill Osborne headed for that altar and got saved. Do you know what God did for him the night he got saved? God healed that back perfectly. And the Holy Ghost said to me this morning, in almost every case, when an old sick sinner an 06 sinner really gets saved, God don't just save him, God heals him at the same moment. Now, if you believe that, let me see your hand way up in the air. At the same moment that an 06 sinner whom the devil has brought to the edge of despair, and he's sick and tired, she's sick and tired of living in sin and living for the world, and her body is showing the pain of a deteriorating life. I'm telling you right now, sin will deteriorate your body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body, the Bible said. Anybody living? I know I'm too bold for some of you, and I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I was at the Waffle House the other day, and I'm eating, and there's a couple behind me, and they just seem so sweet. And I turned around, and I said, I got to meet you kids. And I said, y'all married? No, we're not married. I looked straight in the face. I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. You make sure, little man, you keep your hands off of her until you get married. Because if you start committing fornication, now to be honest with you, they was already committing fornication. I wouldn't have said all of this. I hadn't already felt what was going on. I said, if you commit fornication, you're going to understand. The Bible says, if you commit fornication, you sin against your own body. You're wrecking your life. You're wrecking your body. And some guy will steal his way into a little girl's heart and go to bed with her for weeks and months. And then he gets sick and tired. And he wants a new opportunity, a new challenge. And he leaves her behind. And her heart all broken. Her life all messed up. Maybe even pregnant. At least she's lost her virtue. She's lost her innocence of her young life. And he leaves her, and she's just a sitting duck. Pain never leaves a heart like that. Am I preaching okay to y'all? I'm telling you, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He'll take whatever you've done to your life. And if you're guilty of fornication and sin together, you come to this altar this morning. He'll save you. He'll rebirth you. He'll make a new creature out of you. He'll clean you up of all that fornication. And he'll even renew your physical person and cast away those days of sinful living. Make a new creature out of you. That's what it means to be born again. Oh, hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, listen now. I got to take every part of this verse. Behold, all things become new. How many remember how it felt to be new after you got saved? Come on, raise it way up high. You know how it felt when suddenly you were a new person. When suddenly, oh, hallelujah, listen to me. It is the grandest thing on the face of this earth to be born again. There is nothing as wonderful. It is supernatural. And when I realize how the church world has lost it, am I right? You follow that. Go read everything you can about Benny Hinn. Do you know what? He can stand in front of thousands. And here is a whole section of sinners, and maybe a few Christians, maybe more Christians, but a few sinners. He can fling his coat at them, and sinners and saints alike go down. Do you need any other proof that that's nothing but noise and emotionalism? If a preacher can knock sinners down without them being converted, he's got power not in this Bible, but the devil has it. But I want to tell you something. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Has reconciled us to himself. I don't know about Jesus. I know him. I don't know about his secretary. I don't know about what he can do for somebody. I know what he's done for me. I know how he saved me. I know how he changed me. If you know how he saved you, raise up both hands and tell him how much you love him. Make sure he knows he has saved you. And now you are a brand new creature. Hallelujah. Well, sir, hallelujah. You're now a child of the King. Royal blood is coursing through your veins. Hallelujah. I got some Chambers blood, but I got some Jesus blood, brother Smothers. I got some Jesus blood. Hallelujah. And the dominant power in me is now Jesus blood. See, I still have to fight between that old power of Chambers. That's why I got to stay sanctified every day. Did you know you need to be sanctified every day? And I watch some of you hadn't been sanctified lately. I can tell by how you sound. Now, something, if you still love me, let me see your hand. I'm telling you, you got to stay sanctified every day. Every day. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, that's so wonderful. Well, there's so much more I want to preach this morning. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7. This is probably the greatest need of the hour. And this is where I'm going to end this morning. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow. Let's talk about godly sorrow. Have you seen any of it lately? You don't see it often. Godly sorrow is when you're so sick of your sins. That's where you were, Brother Rogers. You were sick of them. The way you squalled at that altar, let me know you were sick of them. I remember when I got saved, I was so sick of that little boy I was. He was such a frail mess. I had learned to steal with a great, great ability. I'd learned to lie. I'd learned to cuss and swear. I remember going to the pool halls, and I would play pool with others, and the old men would sit around and laugh because I could really speak a dirty language. I could say the ugliest old things. I could cuss and swear and just roll out of my mouth. And they're sitting there laughing at this little dude that's making a fool out of himself. But do you know what? The day I got saved, I've never used one of those terms again. I've never said none of those words again. I don't take the name of my Father in vain no longer. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now, godly sorrow. Are you sick of what you are? Oh, no. Well, I'm not talking to you. If you're not sick of what you are as a sinner, I can't help you. The only way I can help you is if I make you sick. You say, why does the preacher preach against sin? Because the preacher knows until he makes you sick of sin, he cannot lead you to Christ. It is impossible, and I'll just close the Bible, and you can close yours. It is impossible to lead a sinner to Christ who loves his sins. As long as you love them, you're going to live in them. But when you get sick of them, Holy Ghost, would you right now make somebody in this building sick of their sins? I'm going to wait on the Lord a minute. God, will you make somebody in this building sick of their sins? Will you let them realize that sin is going to take them to hell? Sin is going to destroy their physical body. Sin is going to rob them of their health. Sin is going to rob them of their peace of mind. Sin is going to rob them of their sense of well-being. Sin is going to make them sick. Sick. One of my grandsons came to my house a few days ago, and he's 37, and he said to me, why are people looking so old who are still young? That's the words he said to me. Why are they looking so old when they're still so young? He said, I don't understand it, Papa. I don't understand it. I said, well, I'd be glad to describe it to you, grandson. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says every day you live in sin, you take 2 days off your life. I said, son, that means if you go out in sin at 16 and decides I'm going to live like the world, in 20 years, you're not 36, you're 56. And it shows all over your body. You tell me one sinner living a gruesome life in sin that you can't see it in their body. Let me see your hand if you know anybody. You can't see it in their body. I promise you can see it. And if they live in sin another 10 years, I said, son, they're 76. And if they were destined to live to be 80, at 46, they've got 4 years left. And they'll be in hell. You've been living in sin for years. I want you to know God can restore your health. And he can give you back the years the cankerworm and the caterpillar stole. How many know that? Raise your hand if you know that. Brother Robert, I don't know how old you were when you got saved a few months ago, but I promise you, he's giving you back some of those years you'd wasted. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. And so when you get saved, you don't just take care of the future. You do something about the past. You actually steal from the devil. Oh, Chicago, oh my God. Well, I feel it. You steal from the devil those years he stole from you. And you took them back. Well, I like that. I like that. I like that. Never said it like that before. But boy, do I feel it. Oh, hallelujah. When you get right with God, you reach into the devil's treasure house and you grab those years of yours laying in there that's all a mess and all ugly and all terrible, and you reach and say, devil, you made a fool out of me and you had me for many years, but you don't have me no more. And devil, I'm taking back in the name of Jesus everything you stole from me. I don't know what you think about this, but I like it. Hallelujah. Oh, being born again. Have I made it plain you got to be born again? And I haven't made it plain that when you are born again, he is doing the grandest thing for you you've ever experienced. Oh, I'm so grateful he saved me. Oh, I'm so grateful he saved me. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. All right, I want us to pray. Could I have a pianist, please, Sister Angel? Hallelujah. Sister Amy, would you come and sing this morning? Somebody raise their hand and pray with me. Father, there's somebody in this building lost. Somebody needs to be born again. Somebody needs to be saved. There's a young man in here that needs to be born again. I mean, he needs to be transformed utterly. There's a young lady in here that needs to be born again. You need to be transformed utterly. There's probably an adult. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking so. Jesus wants to save you. Now, I want everybody to stand with me, please. Everybody standing. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to bow your head, and I want you to ask God to do something for somebody here this morning. Would you ask God to do something for somebody? Somebody that's unsaved. Somebody that's away from God. Somebody that's sick of your sins. You're sick of them. You're sick of them. And you want to come to Christ. Maybe you already thought you were saved, but you're not sure now. And you want to know that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again. Singing for me. We're going to wait just a moment, then I'm going to open the invitation.
Without one plea,
but that
ooh,
I like that.
Thy blood
was shed for me, and that thou biddest,
and that
he's calling. Young man, would you rise from your seat? Are you already standing? Just step out past your mama, past your family, and come quickly. If you're not sure you're saved, you are literally playing with your eternity to leave this service without being saved. Would you come? Come, little lady. Come.
Just as I am.
Without one plea.
And waiting not.
And waiting not. I like that.
To rid my soul
of every
dog. Of one. Dark blood.
See, that's why godly sorrow is a dark thing in your life that you don't know him. But he's calling you to come. I'm not going to beg you. You got to want it. You got to be sick and tired of sin. Young man, are you saved? Young man, are you saved? Young lady, are you saved? Are you going to waste years? No, every year you're wasting sin. You take off 2 years of your life.
Thou wilt receive.
All right, about 30 more seconds. I don't believe in begging. How many of you can say, I want to know beyond a shadow that I'm an old-fashioned Christian? Let me see your hand. Raise them as high as you can get them. I want to know that I know that I know. I want to know that I know I belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. Now while she sings, I want everybody to meet me at this altar. Everybody in the building, visitors, come right with everybody else. Just be a part of the crowd. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for God to deal with your heart. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You decide you want to start praying. You just lift your hands and start. Somebody will come right beside you and share your burden. I promise you, somebody will come and share your burden. Would you come? Come close if you will. Hallelujah. Open the aisle up there, Brother Joseph. Others can come on down. Hallelujah. And that thou biddest, come, sir. Come, sir. Come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like for the Christians to come with everybody else. Hallelujah. God help somebody. You know if there's somebody here unsaved. Lift your hands and somebody will come and pray with you.
On Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, because it reaches to the highest mountains, oh, and it flows to the lowest valleys. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Rise all my tears, and that same blood, it dries all my tears. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Flows to the lowest valley.